the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Back in the summer of 2017, I had the great blessing, grace, and opportunity to travel to France with Father Sean, one of my good friends. And as we traveled to France, we stopped, of course, as one is to do, in Lourdes. And the site of Lourdes is a place that I've wanted to go to, but also I was a little afraid of the touristy nature of it. But upon getting there, something I found out, which I found rather interesting, is that everybody always talks about the pools that are at the spot where Bernadette encountered Our Lady and began to dig, where a spring welled up and continues to give water to this day. That, you know, those springs, those pools are where we hear so many healings take place. And then also in the Marian procession that takes place each night, there's also miracles that take place. But the fact I found most interesting was that is not where the majority of the healings happen. That is not where not the time at which the majority of the healings at Lourdes take place. Each afternoon in Lourdes, there is actually a Eucharistic procession as well. And that is where the vast, vast majority of the miracles that take place each year at Lourdes actually happen, and when they happen, and the presence of whom it happens. And I find this interesting because I think it lays out two points about today's solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. One, it treats one of the misconceptions about the Immaculate Conception, which is that, you know, we Catholics worship Mary. We idolize her. We put her on a pedestal she has no right to be on. But what I think that little fact about Lourdes reminds us that while it is a Marian shrine, the one who really reigns over, the one who is still sovereign and supreme at Lourdes is our Lord, Jesus Christ. That it is him still in the Eucharist that has the supreme power. And now, while there are certainly miracles that are attributed to Mary, the vast majority that take place there are in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, the presence of our Lord's blessed flesh still among us. And I think that that's a reminder to each of us that Mary also, too, always points to her Son. That while people come to Lourdes, perhaps, to encounter Our Lady, what she ultimately wants to do and what she does in her everyday lives, whether it's praying a rosary, any other devotion to Our Lady, is she directs us to her Son. She directs us to him to who she gives birth to eventually. Because the Immaculate Conception is not the conception of Jesus, but instead it is the prevenient grace at work within Mary's soul at the moment of her conception that protects her from original sin so that she can become the first tabernacle, the first one who would bear the Lord of the world, the Lord of the universe, and to his own creation. That God desires to use us. That's where it leads. That while everything points to our Lord, he also wants us to have a part. He wants us to play our part. Because each of us have our own mission, our own way of becoming a saint, our own particular task. each and every moment, that is yours and yours alone. And what Mary exemplifies so perfectly for us, while also walking hand in hand with us to help us to carry that out, is that the Lord, as he uses her, as he prepares her heart to bear the Lord, to bear her Son, her Lord, the Savior of the world, to the world, is that she also wants to help us to do the same. She wants to help us to bring to the world the presence of her Son, by word, action, and deed. And so I think that's the first thing that we see here, is that on this Feast of Immaculate Conception at Lourdes, what we see is that the Lord is still supreme. But what Mary indicates, and what also we should indicate, and what all the saints indicate, is that God desires to use us to bring about salvation in the world. And the second point, which I think is most relevant, because today is a holy day of obligation, and we come to Mass. The Church asks us to come to Mass. And if we are in a worthy state, if we're able to, also ask us to receive Holy Communion. And I think this is the reality, that Mary always directs us and prepares our heart to receive her Son and the Most Holy Eucharist. That today, as we see her being prepared by the angel Gabriel, as we see the angel Gabriel proclaiming that she is to bear the Savior of the world, so too Mary always points us and directs us towards Holy Communion, the most perfect union we can have with our Son in this life, that most intimate connection that we can have, that in a way we too can become tabernacles, if only for a few short minutes after Holy Communion, that we bear Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the same one who would one day be conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin. On this day, we are reminded that Mary always, always directs us to her Son. Most perfectly, most fundamentally, that is her task. That is her rule. And that is the reason why she is here. And that is the reason why we celebrate this Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Not because we make her another god, not because we idolize her, not because we worship her, but instead because she is deserving of all honor, because she was protected from the stain of original sin, but persevered in that state to the moment of her death. And so we honor her as the perfect example of what we should be, what we should strive to be, and what we hope to become. But then also we know that she guides her hand, she walks us to our Lord in the Most Holy Eucharist. That, as we receive him, as we approach him, we ask and we repeat the words of Mary in many ways, and we can. Behold, I am the handmaid, the servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. May whatever you're asking me, Lord, in this moment of Holy Communion, may this Holy Communion strengthen me to do it. May it strengthen me to carry it out. May it strengthen me to give ever greater service to you, ever greater acts of fervent love to you. So I may be perfected as Mary, so that I can give you glory and praise now and into eternity.